Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to GGM Radio. I am your host, Amanda Dowell, and you are listening to Messages of Light. I am going to play my intro, which I could not play a few seconds ago thanks to the lovely cats jumping on the computer, but, you know, that always happens when you are in kitty land. So I'll be right back, and then we'll introduce our guest. All right, so welcome to WGGM Radio. Like I said, I'm your host, Amanda Dowell. You're listening to Messages of Light. Today, my guest is Brian Luke Seward. He is a very special guy, and I met him a while back in St. Louis when he came here, and he had a wonderful put-together documentary of nature and beautiful scenes called Earth Songs. It was just amazing to sit down and watch these amazing healing scenes that he had put together and that he had worked with stress management and more. And I got to looking, and he also has a book out, which is very fascinating, that people should check out at brianlukeseward.net, called Stand Like a Mountain, Flow Like Water. And it's very, very healing just to know that Brian has CDs, books, and music out, and that he is so appreciated in, you know, thousands of ways by universities, people like, you know, Procter and Gamble, people like Hewlett-Packard, you know, John Deere, Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, Healing Touch International, National Wellness Institute, the American Journal, for his, you know, he's just such a passionate teacher. He's got humor. He teaches healing through human spirituality, and he works to bring down your stress level, which is really important. And he takes some of his stuff. One of his really cool people that he really takes this from is Joseph Campbell. So he's internationally known, and he works with mind, body, and spirit, and he's even worked with PBS specials, and he's done college lectures, medical seminars, boardroom meetings. They say he looks like James Taylor, dresses like Indiana Jones, writes like Mark Twain, which is, you know, pretty fabulous. He's just got so much going on that it's really funny that even Good Morning America's host Joan London says his words have touched so many people. So, I mean, really, he's just touched my heart as well, and that's why I'm really excited to have him here. So, I'm going to bring him live and let him talk a little bit more about his background, his information, and some other things he can share with you. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Amanda. I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to have you here. It sounds like you've been really busy the last little bit here.
Yeah, my adventures have taken me to Italy, and I just got back from doing a 4-day mountain retreat up in Estes Park, and I'm heading off to Syracuse tomorrow to work with some people who do counseling for college students in the New England and New York area. So there's no shortage of stress in the world, and I'm glad to share the message of relaxation and inner peace.
Well, I think relaxation and inner peace is very important in today's society, because I can tell you from what I do, it's always important to relax. And I not only work with the healing abilities, but I also work with, you know, I feel other people's situations. I can pick up on certain situations. And I'm sure there are plenty of people out there that do the same thing. So the topic that you're talking about is really quite profound. And I mean, all these studies and all these people that have experienced your work, it sounds like you've really been busy just working hard to spread this message to everyone.
Yeah, well, what I typically say, Amanda, is that stress is the equal opportunity destroyer, and it affects everybody. And for a long time, stress has been looked at mostly in terms of physical health, but my approach to health and wellness is the mind-body-spirit approach. And if you take a look at our world today, it's obviously got a lot of stress in there. And in terms of a spiritual perspective, I know that your audience would love to hear this, the spiritual perspective often gets ignored in the Western culture, and much to the detriment of our own health. And what I typically tell people, or I suggest to people, is that spirituality involves three things in a real simplistic term here, and that is relationships, values, and a meaningful purpose in life. And if we were to take a look at our list of stressors today, every stressor involves a relationship, either ourself or how we deal with other people, values or value conflicts, and then, of course, why are we here? What's our purpose in life? And so I really try to integrate the spiritual component to stress management, because it's been so overlooked, and it needs to be a part of the puzzle there to piece together.
Yeah, it's so true, because, I mean, I know something that we learned early on in Healing Touch, which I've had, you know, several levels of Healing Touch, is that, you know, you cannot work on someone if you are totally stressed out, because then what happens is that they pick up on it, and then it overconsumes them. So I think that it's very interesting that you are talking about there's so much stress in the world today, and, you know, how is it that you approach it in your book in terms of telling people how stress was then, and, you know, how the world works? How do you go about explaining that to people?
Well, my explanation, and it's actually a lot more than we could probably go into in an hour, because it's a pretty comprehensive mm-hmm. topic. But real simply, I attract two kinds of people in my life, and in terms of how they tell me their stories: the victims and the victors. And you know, we've probably all heard stories from both sides of the equation there. But when I talk to people who've been through a hellacious experience, and I love the quote that says, I think it's by Winston Churchill, who says, "If you're going through hell, keep going." I listen to people's stories, and they say things like this: at the time I was going through this horrible ordeal, I thought it was the worst thing that could have ever happened to me, but now I can tell you it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. And when I ask them, how'd you get through this horrible ordeal, whether it's cancer or having one person had his son kidnapped, a lot of health issues, people have lost jobs and spouses and things, really horrible situations, they all say the same kind of thing. They say it was my sense of humor, it was my sense of patience, it was my sense of optimism, my sense of forgiveness. And as I hear these things, I decide to call them the muscles of the soul, because these are coping skills that we all have, and they'll never disappear. But if we don't use them, they will atrophy. And so people mm-hmm. who have a sense of resiliency and the ability to bounce back seem to tap into what I call are these muscles of a soul that help them either dismantle, circumnavigate, or transcend their stress, and then come through with pure grace.
Amazing. That is really amazing. So also, you know, what inspired you to come up with this way of thinking? I mean, just in all of your work that you do, like your book and, you know, in general, this is a very, very big topic. How did you get inspired to do this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've had several wonderful mentors in my life, one of whom really got the ball rolling back in 1980 when I met her. Her name was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And she was very famous for putting the ideas of hospice into reality. She was a catalyst for this, as well as some nurses. But her book On Death and Dying really said that no one should ever die alone. And when I got a chance to hear her speak back over three decades ago, she didn't speak about death and dying on that particular occasion. She spoke about the ideas of wellness, and she said that the word wellness is new to the American vernacular, but the concept is ageless. It goes back thousands of years. And she said, wellness is the integration, balance, and harmony of mind, body, spirit, and emotions. And when I heard that, I thought, wow, that's what I've been saying all along. And now here's someone who's validating this. So in the chance to meet her, she said, I need your help. I need you to help me and people like me reintroduce the ideas of human spirituality back into healthcare, back into health education. And so that's been one of my biggest inspirations is her. Also people like Carl Jung, Joseph Campbell, Deepak Chopra, a lot of people who've carried the torch of this idea of ancient wisdom and ageless wisdom of human spirituality into everyday life. And I teach at the college level, but as you mentioned earlier in your wonderful introduction of me, I give talks in corporate America, but also anywhere where there's stress, which in this day and age it seems to be everywhere. And I do my best to integrate the ideas of human spirituality into stress management because, like I said, without it, and to quote Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, it's very dysfunctional.
Absolutely. And when someone is in dysfunction, how would, I know you give different resources, if you were talking to an audience, what would you say to them about dysfunction in their life?
Well, in simple terms, and again, it's a very complex topic, but in simple terms, I think that dysfunction really begins with the two roadblocks of the human journey, and the two roadblocks would be either anger or fear. Anger is a fight response, and fear is a flight response, and those two emotions, when they're left unresolved, can definitely immobilize us. And I think if you take a look at our world today, it looks very dysfunctional, but it's really a world that operates on fear. You know, the scarcity of resources, the scarcity of money, the scarcity of a loving relationship. There's all kinds of things we could fill in the blank there with. But what I try and teach people is how to come to peace with our angers, frustrations, and our fears or anxieties, and how to work from and move toward love and compassion, moving out of fear into love and compassion. And this is no great secret. It's been preached for thousands of years. In terms of the wisdom keepers, from Jesus to Jane Goodall, and that's quite the spectrum over the past couple thousand years. but we need to, and I think we're doing this. I think as a species, we are slowly evolving our consciousness, moving out of fear into love. But I tell you, some people are kicking and screaming the whole way.
Oh, I know, and that that's a common thing that. We have a question from Suzanne in the chat room. She wants to know, do we use the word stress to an excess and is a buzzword that is overused? So that's what she would like to know.
I don't think stress is overused. I think that I think that we can use the word burnout. We can use, there's all kinds of words that describe what stress could be. But I think that even fatigue, in fact, I tend to hear the word fatigue a lot with things like election fatigue and environmental fatigue. But I think the reason why we're hearing it so much, to the point where some people might think that it's gone from a buzzword to almost losing its meaning, is that there's just so much stress around everywhere you turn. And what I see right now, Amanda, is just a sensory bombardment, sensory overload with technology. That's what added one more layer to all of this. And I love my Apple computer, but I don't take it to bed with me. I think healthy boundaries are the key there.
Well, something that my yoga teacher, which she was the one who asked you the question, said to me, she said, "Now, you better not be sleeping by like a TV, electronics, because the bedroom is for sleeping, and another space is for this." And it's a very interesting concept because I got into a new housing situation with a roommate of mine, and it's the same concept that they have in the household. So it's very interesting. Your room is for meditation and sleep and everything like that, and then you have your workspace. So I'm kind of like you. You know, sometimes that can definitely be stress and all the other, you know, and, you know, the phone ringing can even be stressful depending on, you know, what your concept is. But, you know, we all stay busy and we all do things, and then there's that level of, well, you have to work. But then, you know, it's a common balance that we have to find. So I'm in agreement totally with what you have to say about that.
Yeah, and I think that the biggest issue I see today, Amanda, with regards to the human situation, the human condition, is just poor boundaries. You know, whether it's with eating habits or finances or technology or even relationships and people. And, you know, we're given all kinds of guidance as we grow up from our parents with rules and regulations. And, of course, our job as a kids is to fight those and push the boundaries. But even as adults, we need to have boundaries. And I see now that there's just real sloppy boundaries. And when people tend to be sloppy with their boundaries, they tend to feel victimized, like they don't have enough time, they're being walked over, invaded, their space is being invaded by other people and such. And so a part of stress management from a spiritual perspective is to have that alone time to reconnect with your inner self and your higher self. And I'm just not seeing a whole lot of it these days. I just came from this retreat up in Estes Park where I was teaching some relaxation skills and in some self-reflective time. And we, I said one of the ground rules was, I said, for the 4 days that we're up here, I'd like to have a ground rule where we have no discussion about the election, because this is a time to get away from that for a while. And in unplugging from the world, we can take a look at our internal landscape. And everyone applauded when I said that, and because it's important to have time away from things. And in our culture now, where we're so plugged into everything, it's really hard to unplug. But it's necessary. It's essential to unplug, to have that time for the soul growth process and for the spirit, the human spirit, to have time to breathe.
That's so true. And you know, we do need to take the time to breathe. I know I do. When I attend yoga class, I never thought that I would be as relaxed as what I am now. You know, it was funny. I ran into one of the yoga students during class, and she asked me a very interesting question because, you know, healers love to help people. And actually, you know, a lot of people who do the psychic work, too, they're in the same kind of boat. So she asked me a very interesting question. She said, how do you know, or how can you tell someone no without hurting their feelings or feeling like you're horrible because you're saying no? I'm curious how you would answer her question.
Boy, great question. I would, you know, I'm very much of a caring person too. And what I would do is I would say, you know, I'd love to help you. Right now, I don't have the energy for that, and I need to have a healthy boundary. And I'm beginning to use the expression healthy boundaries as a mantra. And at first, people may feel a bit put off by that, but I think they're going to realize very quickly that what you're doing is not only a favor to yourself, but a favor to them. Because if you offer to help somebody and you're not there at 100%, then we're doing what my dad used to call as a half-baked job, and that ends up not helping anybody. So I think real honesty is important, and honesty is also one of those muscles of a soul that I mentioned, where you can say, you know, I'd love to help you, but right now I just don't have the ability to do that, and I can't help you. I need to to work on my own healthy boundaries. And I mm-hmm. think that although they may look at you and at first think, you know, raise an eyebrow, they're going to quickly realize, wow, that's what I need to do, is my own healthy boundaries.
Yeah, and I think that we're in a day and age now where we're learning that. I mean, I can speak for myself where I know exactly what you're talking about, and I know exactly what this girl was talking about during our class, because it's very hard for people who like to help to say no, but then there's that healthy balance of yes, you can do so much to help, and yes, you can do so much to take care of yourself. I, too, am even learning that boundary myself. So I think boundaries in this case are extremely important in exactly what you're talking about. You know, it's interesting. I also wanted to ask you, what is the relationship between stress and human spirituality?
Well, boy, that's a great question too. And I would begin by saying that to fall back on what the Wisdom Keeper is saying, that it's a foundation of cultivating a relationship with yourself and with your higher self, and of course a relationship with other people you come in contact with, but also to add in the American Indian philosophy that relationships are not just people, they're also the ground that we walk on, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, and of course the whole animal kingdom. By the way, I love your pictures that you post on Facebook that gives a great message that we are all connected. The second part is, of course, values, and the third part is a meaningful purpose in life. But I also talk about this idea called the seasons of a soul, where we come into, right now we're coming into fall, and this is actually a great time for the first season, which is called the centering process, which means take time to go inside. In fact, if you take a look at the word center, you'll see it has the word enter, and center means to enter the heart. And this is a time for some self-reflection, and we go inside because in the autumn, with less sunlight, we go inside because there is less light. Then comes the winter time, and this is called the emptying process, and that's where we release, let go, and detach from all those thoughts, perceptions, attitudes, and beliefs that at one time may have served us, but now they no longer do. And it's kind of like cleaning house. And a lot of people think that the emptying process is the void to avoid, but in reality it's not. It's the womb of creation. But they see it as an abyss to not step into, and in doing so, we become what I call a spiritually constipated. But once you do enter the womb of creation and cleanse and let go, nature abhors a vacuum, and so something new will come into our lives. And that's the next season, which is springtime. And springtime is symbolized by great growth, new growth, the flowers coming out of the earth, the trees with the leaves. And that's really a metaphor for the vision of the vision quest, the golden cosmic breadcrumb that we seek to help us get from point A to point B. And in this time of the grounding process, we seek a vision and we get it. But the journey is not over because we have to come back to our community and share what we learned. And that is the fourth season, summertime, which is a time of connecting. And so the spiritual process is a soul growth process of these four seasons. And although I've outlined it very quickly here, it's a very complex process because you could be in the emptying process with your career and the connecting process with your family. So it's like the earth has more than one season going on right now. We, too, have many seasons going on at one time. But one tends to really hold the limelight in our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So also, you talk about how, you know, stress is spiritual growth. Like, it's an opportunity. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I have, like I said, met several people who have become heroes to me and how they've lived their lives and come through stress gracefully. And I'm of the opinion, Amanda, that we enter this world like a jagged rock with a lot of rough edges. And as we tumble through life and we have multiple experiences, everything from the good, the bad, and the ugly, if we can learn from these experiences, this is akin to, or metaphorically speaking, it's akin to polishing our rough edges. And so as we learn from these experiences, we become a beautiful, precious gemstone that is just something that you want to hold. And of course, tumble stones are an example of this. Some people call them worry stones, but I call them this idea of a beautiful soul stone.
Yes, a soul stone would be more descriptive, I think, because then you get more of an angle, more of a description, I think, totally of what you're trying to get across to someone. And, you know, I think it's wonderful how you go into seasons of the soul. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, that's the centering process, the emptying process, grounding and connecting. And let me ask you about share with you about the connecting process. Like summertime, which we just have got out of from the northern hemisphere. I'm not sure if any of your callers are from the southern hemisphere at all, but in the northern hemisphere, we just entered summer. We're now into
fall. They're everywhere. My callers go from they range from Missouri on, so I'm sure they'll love this explanation.
Oh, I love it too. Well, I typically ask people, I say, you know, what do you do in the summertime? And the answers include weddings, barbecues, family picnics, family reunions. And that is the epitome of this idea of connecting. And to be honest, we're always connected. In fact, I got to tell you, I thought about doing a movie script one time called Young Einstein, and it's not Einstein as a 3-year-old. It's actually Carl Jung and Albert Einstein having a conversation, and they both were fascinated with all kinds of aspects of humanity and divinity. And of course, Albert had just gotten the Nobel Prize for physics, and so Carl, they actually did meet one day for lunch, and Carl said to him, Albert, I don't understand this theory of relativity. Can you put it in real simple terms to me? You know, since they both understood German and spoke German, nothing got lost in translation. But Albert said, well, Carl, it's like this. If you go faster than the speed of light, time and space do not play by the same rules. And Carl looked at him and he said, fascinating. He said, the same thing occurs in the dream state where time and space do not play by the same rules when you're in the depths of the unconscious mind. And it was Albert Einstein's idea of the theory of relativity that gave Carl Jung the idea for the collective unconscious. So I thought, wouldn't it be great to make a movie and have these two guys, we can eavesdrop on their conversation of all of this. And of course, if we're going to have lunch, we need to have a waiter come in or a waitress and bring food. And since I'm the screenplay writer, I can do what I want. So this person is going to be a Native American. And this guy, servers tend to eavesdrop on conversations. I know because they've actually shared with me some things. I'll be like, you heard that all the way over there? Well, this Native American server says, gentlemen, I couldn't help but overhear your conversation, and I just want you to know that what you're saying is not anything new. We've known this for millennia, for my tribe of the Lakota Sioux, where all life connects. In fact, one of our leaders of the American Indian tradition, Chief Seattle, says that man did not weave the web of life. He is merely a strand in it. And so this idea of connecting process is really, really important, but we also need to balance that out with the idea that we need to separate out, and I say unplugged because I like Eric Clapton's CD of Unplugged, so it's a great name for a CD, but it also is a great message that we're always connected, but we need to take time to unplug from things so we can listen to the voice of the internal wisdom, take time to connect to the sacred spirit that we're a part of, so that when we come back into community, when we come back into conscious connection, that we can do so with a beautiful heart and not a fear-based behavior process.
Absolutely. I think that's really wonderful. You also have something called the health of the human spirit that you have a concept about. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. In simple terms, the human spirit is an energy that goes through us. And in fact, the word spirit and breath are often synonymous in almost every language and culture around the planet. I'm a real concerned when I see people who are very stressed for prolonged periods of time because we know from a physiological perspective that when stress is left unresolved, it will ultimately impact the physical body. In fact, I often say that the body becomes a battlefield for the war games of the mind. And so in terms of this, fear and anger left unresolved choke the human spirit. They choke the life force of energy through us. So if we were to extrapolate that a little bit further, that the health of the human spirit is to first resolve issues of anger and fear. And so the way in which to do that is through really good coping techniques and coping skills. And a lot of people, I've discovered, use one coping skill more often than any other one, and it's called avoidance.
Yes, they do commonly use that, I agree.
Yeah, and although it's the most common, it's by far the least effective because, and I think you know this, and I know this, we all know this, that if you avoid something and you turn your back on it, 5, 10, 15 miles down the proverbial road, we're going to see that same problem with our name on it saying, now's the time. And so so health of the human spirit says, let's use these muscles of a soul. Let's use our sense of humor, our sense of forgiveness, our sense of patience. And I often say, Amanda, that these are all colors of love's rainbow. And these are things that help us get through the tough times. And indeed, they really do.
They really do. You were sharing that there are different things you can do for balance. Would you like to talk to some of our listeners about some of the suggestions you would make for balance?
Yes, one of the first ones I would recommend is to engage in a good sense of humor. I think, the word humor actually means fluid or moisture, and it really is a metaphor, Amanda, for going with the flow. But I also learned this, that the word silly means to be blessed. And a lot of times we'll say to kids, don't be silly. I think we should reframe that expression and say, go ahead and be silly, be blessed. There's a real divine aspect to humor. But also I'm a real big fan of physical exercise, because coming back to the integration, balance, and harmony of mind, body, spirit, emotions, we now know that if we let these stress hormones circulate through our body for a very prolonged period of time, that they will wreak havoc on various organs and tissues. And so exercise is the fight or flight response. When you begin to walk or jog or go for a swim or whatever, what you do is you begin to flush the stress hormones out of the body. And they're there for an intended purpose, to help you survive physical threats. But for prolonged periods there, what they will do is they'll increase blood sugar levels and increase lipids in the blood. And we all know that this is not good in terms of things like diabetes and heart disease. So, and to give you one connection, Amanda, between the spiritual well-being and physical well-being of health, do you know, and here we are on a Monday morning, that more people have heart attacks on Monday morning between the hours of 8 and 10 than any other day during the week?
And as it turns out, that's really shocking. Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Well, the people who survive the heart attacks, they begin to ask them, you know, what's going on in your life? And as it turns out, everybody who survived answered, I hate my job. You know, on a Monday morning after coming off a weekend, you think, oh, my God, I hate this job. Well, then they began to pursue a little bit further, and they asked these people, well, what about your job don't you like? And they said, I feel as if I have no purpose in my life. And purpose in life is the hallmark. It's the cornerstone of human spirituality. But look what it can do to your health if it's not there. So so in terms of health of the human spirit, that's really what it comes down to.
That's wonderful. So before we go to break, I would love for you to share the poem that you ended with in your book. But I also wanted to, before we do that, talk a little bit about your video that you came out with. I know that I saw it with a group of Healing Touch people, but I'd love for you to share a little bit about your projects and also about the Earth Song video, and then read your poem, and then we'll take a little short break and come back and take some callers.
Sure, I'd love to. Well, I learned several years ago that a study was done about people who are in the hospital for various reasons, and the people who had a view of nature seemed to get out much quicker and healed quicker than those who didn't have a view of nature, if they had a view of a brick wall. And nature for me has always been very, very spiritual. In fact, I live here in Colorado, and I often say that my church is a church of the mountain cathedral. It's actually called Rocky Mountain National Park. And nature is very healing. So because a lot of my friends and colleagues have cancer, and when people are undergoing chemotherapy, they can't get outside, I decided to make a documentary on the healing power of nature. And so I put together some great footage from around the world: Iceland, Greenland, Patagonia, Chile, Peru, the Hawaiian Islands, the Caribbean, Alaska. And then I got this wonderful, wonderful actor named Michael York, who your listeners may know from the movies Cabaret, Three Musketeers, Logan's Run, and perhaps most recently he was Austin Powers' boss in the Austin Powers movies. His name is Michael York, and he has just the golden voice. And he's been a friend of mine for several years, and one day he said to me, so what are you working on? And I told him about this idea, and he said, can I do the narration? And I said, Michael, you're my first choice. So what I've discovered is that this movie I made it for cancer patients, but it's being used for soldiers with PTSD. It's being used for Earth Day celebrations around the world. It's been aired on PBS out in California, soon to be, I think, nationwide. And it's been used for kids for Earth Day around the country, too. So I'm just tickled pink. And it was made almost as an answer to Al Gore's movie, because when I walked out of his movie, and it was a great movie, but I felt kind of numb. And I thought the only way that we're going to be able to heal the earth is to fall back in love with it, because I think that a lot of people are so disconnected from outside in nature that they don't even have a relationship with it anymore. So that was why I made the movie, and it's gone far beyond my expectations of reaching any kind of wider audience than I ever imagined. I'm very, very grateful.
Well, I really enjoyed seeing Earth Songs because it really put me back into a sense of wow. And, you know, the narration was really well done by Michael York, and I really enjoyed that you actually traveled down to Missouri and you were there and you were showing a bunch of healing touch practitioners this, and I just happened to be in the audience. It was very well done. So would you share with everybody else any other projects that you have going right now? I'm sure people would love to hear.
Yeah, well, I dabble in photography, and I when I was making this movie, which was using a movie camera, I also pulled out my Canon 5D and my 10D, and I have a lot of Canon equipment there, and I actually shot photography. And so I have a new book out, and it's a coffee table book of photography, but based on all the countries I went to where I filmed the movie Earth Songs, and so it makes a real nice Christmas present. But it's a nice collection of essays from around my travels around the world, some of which were actually articles for an online magazine called Authentic Living. Some of the chapters were emails that I wrote to friends and then turned into chapters and stuff. And it's just it's a nice – it stands alone by itself, but it's also a nice companion to the Earth Songs movie. And here's the poem of that I think began the whole process of my love affair with nature. Do you want to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
Okay, it goes like this. To walk the human path is hard. To stay put is not an option. At times, my head is filled with doubt. I pause, uncertain and insecure. Then I hear these words aloud. Stand like mountain. Flow like water. I walk each step in search of truth. My quest brings both joy and sorrow. Light and dark dance unified. Yes, balance is a key to life. Again I hear these words aloud. Stand like mountain. Flow like water. We come to earth to learn to love, a lesson we must all master. To know and serve the will of God is not a task for a chosen few. We must each answer the call to love. Stand like mountain. Flow like water.
That was very beautiful.
Oh, thank
you. Really love that. And I know that it's just really moving for me to hear something like that. And I was very moved by your Earth Songs video as well, and all the hard work that you do and all the many people that you've worked with. It's just huge. So do you have anything coming up in the future you would like to announce before we take a really quick commercial break? Like any
sure,
events you're going to be at that people might want to come to?
I do an annual mountain retreat up in Estes Park. This year, next year, we're going to be in Vail, and it's actually usually around Columbus Day. And I post the information on my website on the upcoming events thing there. I also take people on a group trip to Ireland, and we work with the sacred sites. We work with the ley lines. Well, over in Ireland, they call them fairy lines. And we do some
wonderful
meditation. Isn't that great? I know. I love it. And we do some sacred ceremonies where I read some poetry. We do some prayers. We have some songs with some traditional Irish music, and then we do some meditation. We work with the ley lines, trying to clear out some of the negative energy, so that we can have a healing place. Ireland is a gorgeous place. It's got a lot of sacred sites there, but there's also been a lot of some stress over there. So we try and work with the healing energies and bring more harmony to the planet, in this case here to Ireland. And of course, you know, we take pictures and listen to music, and rumor has it some people have been known to drink Guinness beer too.
Ah, interesting. Well, you know, I think the good part, it's Ireland, it's Irish, but you know, the good part is that you're making a difference, you're working with healing, you're doing amazing things with meditation. That's so good, and everybody should check out your website, brianlukeseward.net. Your Earth Songs video is beautiful. Your work is just wonderful. Thank you for sharing your poem. We'll be right back after this commercial break. We'll take some callers, and I'll answer some questions, and you can leave your feedback too, Brian, and we'll definitely let people, you know, hear what you have to say too, and everybody check out his website. I'll see you in just a minute, Brian. I'm going to run a commercial, and then we'll be right back.
Great. I'll be here. Thanks.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
You're listening to Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell on WGGM Greater Ministries Radio.
You're listening to WGGM Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Dowell, every Monday, 11 a.m. Central Time, 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. You can join me here to answer questions and more. You're listening to Brian Luke Seward, our guest. You can check him out at www.brianlukeseward.net, not .com, .net. And I'm running a special this October since we're having the changes of the leaves on the ground. So if you're interested in readings, you can email me at starwaya, starwaya, at hotmail.com. Tell me you listen to the show, and I will set you up with a reading special this month. So that's starwaya, starwaya, at hotmail.com. Our call-in number is 347-237-5339. And now we are going to bring Brian back to the show. Welcome back, Brian.
Hey, thank you very much. It's great to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful to have you here. I'm so glad I ran into you at Healing Touch and that we've been friends on Facebook ever since. It's wonderful.
Thank you. Well, I'm grateful, too, and I love your energy and all that you do to make the world a better place, and it's part of this birthing process of consciousness, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is, and I'm totally with you on that, Brian. I'm right up there in the same alley trying to, you know, help those people out, and I love what you do, so it's amazing. Let's see what our callers have to say. I'll go to area code 805. You're on with Amanda and Brian. How are you today? Hello, 805. Okay, we're going to put them back on hold. They're probably just listening. And we'll go to our next caller, area code 612. You're on with Amanda and Brian. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good, thanks. What can we help you with today? What's your one question?
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any restrictions on the question?
We'll see. You can ask your question, and I'll see if I can help you, and Brian may have something to add.
Okay, fabulous. Well, my question is about a relationship in my life that's really confusing me, beyond confusing, and I'm just wondering, I guess, really what's going on with that.
Okay, well, I think
it's a romantic relationship.
Yeah, I figured it probably was. I just get the feeling that you need to meditate and really sit with it because it's not proper for you guys to go any further yet. It's almost like you have to get to know each other. So I'm simply seeing, you know, that there's a lot of stress to it. and that meditation and music would really help you out. I don't know if Brian might have something to add to that.
I think that's great advice. Relationships are a lot of work, no matter who it is. And that's part of our learning process. But I would also add to this that, is this somebody who that you feel you're on equal par with, or do you feel as if that you're doing the teaching and this person is the student, or are you mostly the student and they're the teacher, or do you feel like it's unequal? And if it's confusing to you, it may be that there's a lack of harmony in terms of your expectations and what you're receiving from this. So as Amanda said, it's really good to go into some quiet time and just contemplate what are your expectations of this relationship, and are they being met? And take it from there.
Okay, fabulous. I will. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Great advice, Brian. That was wonderful. Okay, we're going to go to our next caller, which is 972. Hello, 972. You're on with Amanda and Brian. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thank you. I am just loving the poetry. I'm relaxed listening to everything this gentleman is saying, and I think he's great. And it's refreshing to have someone coming from a different perspective on the stress, because I think the stress is a huge factor, for disease in the world and people getting sick and that type of thing. And I'm really into the Mother Nature thing too. I spend a lot of time every day with Mother Nature, and it's really magical for me. So I definitely am grateful for Mother Nature, for sure. All the birds, the trees, the ground, the earth, just being grounded in Mother Earth, etc. But I would just like to ask you, Amanda, how much longer do you think I'll be with my job before I make the shift to my more peaceful, less stressed environment?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think for you, again, it's the time out, the peacefulness and the balance of it that's really, up your alley and what you have to do. So it's again, the breathing, doing some things, walking, being in nature. As far as the time frame, I really don't feel like you're going to be constrained to it much longer. It's really just something that you're going through for the time being, and so that's really where I'm going to go with it. Brian may have something to add to that, though.
I can only tell you from my own personal experience, a time when I actually left a position that I am very grateful I did, but I've learned that the spirit leaves before the body does, and what I mean by that is that the spirit goes into the non-space-time aspect of progression there to search out the best future for you, and it's looking up to make connections and such that by the time you do actually leave and move on, you're going to have an easier road. So although it may seem as if it's kind of frustrating that things haven't happened yet, know that at the higher realms that things are in the works there, and that when you do make that step across the threshold, that it's in a time of where all the preparations have been made. Does that make sense?
Oh, Brian, it totally does. My spirit left this months ago, and it amazes me, and I'm still grateful because I'm able to pay my bills and take care of financial obligations with the current position. But I've been gone emotionally and spiritually from this position for several months. So it's amazing that I'm still here, and I just... like I said, I'm grateful that I'm not in a panicked rush to, work a temporary job as a filler, as I shift to the new direction and new plans. And I mean, because the big change is coming in, and even moving out of state, out of Texas as well. In fact, I think I'm heading to either Colorado or New Mexico, one of the two, to do some television work. And I've been networking for quite a while with some people to do with media and networking and some television work and reporting and that type of thing. So I'm really looking forward to it, but it's the patience is It's not easy. Just not easy. No. You know, I know it's going to happen, but it's just like, okay, how much longer? You know?
Well, I tell you, my experience has been, and from other people too, that it takes almost a year for the spirit to do its work. So it made me less for you, but just hang in there, knowing that all is underway as it should be.
Wonderful.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Audrey. You have a great day. Thank you for calling in.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.
All right, our next caller is area code 780. You're on with Amanda and Brian. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. How about yourself, Amanda?
Jim, pretty good. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a question, and it's in regards to the human changes that are going on right now. I just wondered, why were you so reluctant to change your way of lifestyle and things like that when things seem so good right now in some certain ways? I know people go a lot of changes otherwise, but why are we getting like really, really pushed to change? We're kind of like we're stripped of our free will and choice in some ways.
It's a very good question. I think that we're growing into change, and I think as the earth changes, we change. Brian may have some more insight on that for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I typically say that the only person who likes change is a wet baby. The rest of us don't like change, and especially change that we can't control. I think that we're definitely in times of great change right now, and as we talked about the idea of this evolution of consciousness, the ego, wherever you see stress, you're going to see ego. And the ego is it likes the status quo. It likes to protect itself from harm, and it sees change as being very harmful in some cases, not every case. But, you know, I want to recommend a really good book to you, because for me it put things in perspective, and it's called The Cosmic Serpent by Jeremy Narby. And in there he talks about his research into ayahuasca, but really into the research of the DNA. Mm-hmm. And the cosmic serpent is actually a metaphor for the DNA, which both transmits and receives information. And we're now learning so much about the DNA in terms of what it contains. And for a long time, they thought that so much of it was junk, which is kind of a dumb name for part of who we are. But they say that we only use 3% of our DNA. And I think that if you read between the lines with some of the things he writes there, that our DNA may have been tinkered with. And now as we come into our own evolution, and meditation is a great way to speed up the process there, we begin to use more of our awareness, more of our DNA, and are less afraid of change.
Interesting. Okay. Well, thank you very much for the questions and the answer. Thanks so much for letting me be part of the show, Amanda. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you very much for calling in. Blessings to you. And
blessings.
Stay in touch. All right. Our next caller is area code 978. You're on with Amanda and Brian. How can we help you?
Hi, this is Marnie. How are you?
Hi. Oh, we're wonderful. How are you?
Hanging in there. I guess I just have a general question about my relationships. I've been doing some extreme work with meditation and taking care of self and such, and releasing old patterns, old recordings, old such like that. And I'm wondering how I'm doing and if I'm going to be having a relationship soon so I can learn more about myself with that mirror.
You know, it seems like you're going to, but I really feel the need to tell you that the meditation and the growing and the experience in life is what you need to do more of. So what I would do first, you know, like you're going to have the relationship. It's going to come. But I feel like the first thing that you have to do is really grow in yourself. It's like you need the meditations, the growing, and the learning, and you will shift into this. So that's what I'm picking up from it. Brian may have some more details for you or some ideas.
You know what comes to mind is a really good book, and it's a good book for me. So if it's for you, I'm not really sure, but I think everyone would love this book. It's called Soul Growth by Sanaa Roman. And the book is about our own growth process and how we can begin to do some more self-reflection. But there's a large part of that book that talks about how to cultivate relationships and how to attract somebody in our lives that is going to help us grow in our own process there. And you know, we talk about the idea of soulmates and stuff, but she says it's not quite like that. It's more about soul partnership. But the book is called Soul Love by Sanaa Roman, R-O-M-A-N, and I found that book to be very, very beneficial. So if you think it might be beneficial for you, I highly recommend it, and to all the listeners, actually.
Soul Love or Soul Growth?
Good question. I think it's called Soul Love.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was called, too, was Soul Love. I think I know the book you're talking about. It is a very good book.
Yeah, it's got some great meditation exercises in there, too.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be starting a school for learning polarity therapy next week. So, something I've been wanting to do for over 20 years.
Wow.
So, but I thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much. Stay in touch with us, and you have a great day. Blessings to you.
Namaste.
Namaste. Okay, our next caller is area code 818. You're on with Amanda and Brian. How are you today?
Hi, how are you guys?
Hi, we're doing good. How are you doing? What can we help you with? Oh, should
I'm
we drop
wonderful.
The... Oh, there you are. Okay, good.
Yes.
You're still here.
My name is Danielle, and I wanted to know if you can tell me what my spiritual giftings are, my psychic abilities, and what I will be doing with them in the near future.
Well, you know, I think you have all of them. I think your strongest ones are your healing ability and your ability to hear and feel, you know, like feeling and knowing inside your gut. So this is being in touch with your body, knowing what your body's telling you, just a sense of knowing. And I really see you guiding and helping other people with that gift. It's a very good gift to have, and you'll turn around and help people with healing. Do you have any words of wisdom for her, Brian?
Boy, that's outside my realm, but I think what you said was great advice, so I'm going to go with that.
Well, and it's okay. What I really meant was, you know, if you had anything in terms of meditation or any recommendations to, you know, help her on your end, because a lot of what I see with her would be the same things that, you know, involve the Healing Touch community and the healers and the realms that you work also. So maybe checking out your work would be a good idea.
I'm looking to find out different meditation things that I can do for my meditation, because I've been meditating, but hopefully some new techniques or something like that.
I'm a real big fan of working with the chakras, to meditate with each power point of the body, of the seven major power points, and the different colors associated with them, the different levels of consciousness, and the affirmations there. There's a great meditation. You probably can go online and find it. It's called the Rainbow Meditation. It just talks about the different colors there. I'm also a real big fan of what they call is like a Zen type of meditation, where you look at, it feels as if you're looking through your mind's eye at a river, and in front of you, as you sit on the riverbank, you see logs going down. The logs represent thoughts. But you want to get to the point where you can actually observe yourself observing the logs. And that is a great form of detachment, where you, once you do that, you really develop your skills of psychic ability too.
Oh, okay. And it's called Zen meditation.
Zen meditation. Yeah, there's different styles of Zen meditation, so search around for it, but you'll find something along the lines there where you basically learn to observe the observer.
Oh, wow. That sounds so exciting.
You know, the observer is a really good thing, because that's what we learned. You know, if you're looking for learning different healing methods, you can check out the Healing Touch program. com, and that'll give you, that's how I started, because I had so much ability that I wanted to be able to ground myself a little bit more, and that's actually how Brian and I met. Was he came to St. Louis, and he was talking with the Healing Touch community, and some of those individuals do different things, like some of them see energy, some of them feel energy, and it's really chakra-based. And so that might be something for you to look into, too, because my ability was so overwhelming because I had so much of it, you know, the psychic ability, that I had to tone it down by learning healing techniques that seemed to ground me a lot more. So that's another recommendation I would have for you, too.
Okay. Oh, wow. Thank you guys so much. I'm definitely going to look into it, and I'm going to listen back so I can write everything down. I love your show.
And keep in touch with us. Keep in touch with us, too. Check out Brian's work. He's got some great stuff on healing. I really appreciate your call today.
Thank you. I appreciate you answering and answering my questions. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Brian.
Hey,
I really, really appreciate it. And namaste to you both.
Namaste.
Thank you. Namaste. All right, Brian, we're going to take one more caller here. Hello, 314.
Hello, Brian. Hello, Amanda. How are you both?
Doing good, thanks. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome. My name is Claudia, and I just would like to say it's really great listening to both of you. I don't really have any particular question. I was just listening, and Amanda decided to pop me on. So just thank you very much for all you do, and I have watched your DVD. It's fabulous. I was very impressed with it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Well, probably some of the CDs that you have, Brian, would definitely be good for her because she is a yoga teacher.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. Great. Yeah. Thanks.
I just finished teaching a yoga class, and I had some new students in there. And the kind of music and the beautiful sceneries, it's sort of what I would like my students to visualize while they're in their classes and in their poses, so that they can bring their minds to a peaceful place. And, just thanks so much for all you do.
Well, thanks. Sounds like you're doing great work, too, and thanks for being part of the team of Transition. How's that?
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Amanda.
All right. Thank you. Brian, it's been a real pleasure having you here, and like I said, I'm really glad I ran into you in St. Louis when you were here. I hope you'll come back and visit Missouri sometime really soon.
Hey, I look forward to it. And Amanda, it was a great pleasure and honor to be on your show. Thanks so much. And let's stay in touch. And I look forward to seeing you on Facebook, too.
Absolutely. I'll see you out there and look forward to having you on again. You have a great rest of the day. Thanks for being on the show today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Amanda. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. What's that, keep it lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.